Sunday, Monday, Corey days. Tuesday, Wednesday, Corey days. Corey day. What a day for YouTube. This content is out. Scoop along with me those Corey days.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to Steel Wars. I am Steel Saunders, and I do love Star Wars. We are joined by the callers themselves, the Convor callers, Aubrey and Corey.
How are you?
I'm good. I was just thinking during the beautifully sung Corey Days theme.
Yeah.
Just like someone downloading, because, you know, the podcast, we do this on YouTube or whatever, but it does turn into a podcast through the magic of technology. Just someone, they just never heard the show before, and that's the theme. If you made it through, here's to it. Here's to a great podcast. You guys have just been down in at Disneyland, or up at Disneyland for you.
Yeah. Yeah, we were at Disneyland. And,
I have to ask the chat, is Corey the least enthused post-Disneyland visitor you've ever come across? Like, just stop. That's not the you should. Oh yeah, Disneyland. Woo.
Yeah. So it's we went to Disneyland. I think you know what it is, and this is horrible to say to everyone else who is not local to California.
Oh no.
Here we go.
Because we've got the
Corey's getting canceled.
No. We have the magic like key passes. So it's kind of it's a common occurrence, you know, like, so if you're in a state that has, let's say, like Busch Gardens or like Legoland, and like, that's your designated theme park in your state, it's kind of like Disneyland is to California, I would say. So it's like, it's pretty...
Yeah, like it's not some giant event because it's a little bit more on the normal side.
Yeah. But that doesn't change the fact that it's exciting to be there because it is.
You have to appreciate it.
Because
we've got the Universal Pass, so we're always going because it's just like 20 minutes up the road. And I always say to Harry every time we go, I go, you know, for many boys and girls, they get to go here one time if they're lucky. Because I just don't want him. It's like that and the robots in LA. We've got all the robot delivery drivers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I can't bear the thought of him taking them for granted. It's robots on the streets delivering pizza. No one probably knows what I'm talking about. But
the first time I saw them, we were with you.
We were. It was,
and my mind was blown.
I think the way it worked is I just saw it walking, and I was like,
rolling.
What? Why is that?
It was rolling. They're on wheels.
Yeah, it's not a gonk droid. It's got wheels.
I thought, didn't we see like a dog one? No.
No.
I don't know. After.
Yeah, they're kind of like, imagine like a beefy Roomba, but it's like maybe like this big, and it has like a little box area where you can put food for deliveries and stuff.
It's like a gonk droid on wheels. And it's got a little readout. It talks to you, and each one's got a name on the side.
I thought it was like a dog-looking thing. I guess I was wrong.
You're so wrong, Corey. There are no robot dogs delivering pizzas.
Not yet.
They're so cool.
But, around our area, like just off Melrose, they're, like, we'll see on a drive 5. And I know where their depot is. So at about 9:30, you can go and watch and like dozens of them. It's quite unnerving.
Oh, I don't like that. Awesome. Actually, that's horrible.
Once Skynet gets onto those delivery pizza rides.
Yeah.
But why I was so unenthused by what I was going to say about Disneyland is an important point to what I was going to say. Is
where are you going with this?
The Star Wars merchandise in Disney.
Mm-hmm.
It's just some of the worst that I've ever seen.
It's not great.
I'm talking about like, not necessarily Galaxy's Edge, but like some of it's just so bad. Like
cheap plastic stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Like half of it looks like it's knockoff Star Wars figures. Like it looks like you're in those, you know,
Yeah, there's sort of like at the Disney stores, there's that lower level of action figure
that's
molded.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's like everything.
And they sort of verge on Mexican bootleg.
That's exactly what it looks like. There's an Obi-Wan from the Kenobi show in his gray tunic. And his face, I mean, he talks. And it's funny because his phrases are often Revenge of the Sith.
I'm just going to leave this comment up for the whole show.
But yeah, he's a very, you want to talk about enthusiastic, get that action figure and you talk to him and
Have like these like little statuette sculpture things, and they're like in the same Star Wars like packaging that the Gentle Giant or like Sideshow like figures are in. So it's the black with that like gray.
Like it looks like it would be good.
Yeah, it looks like it would, but then you look at it. And literally, it's just the same packaging, but it doesn't say Sideshow, or it doesn't say Gentle Giant, or whatever. It just says Star Wars. You open it, and it looks awful. Like, completely 100% awful.
Well, pre-pandemic, all the Star Wars stores at Disneyland used to sell, like, Hot Toys and Sideshow and Gentle Giant, and they would have all the huge companies there.
Oh, no. COVID takes another victim.
It did. Again, now it's...
No, not expensive Star Wars toys at Disneyland. Oh.
I feel like they used to do very well.
When will it stop?
Oh, no, affordability!
Yeah, well, you know, they could have had me by the throat this week, and they didn't.
There's no vaccination to Corey's potential credit card bill.
Yeah.
Hey, so let's talk about a little bit of Star Wars news today. We've got some hot topics. And this one has potentially already been debunked, but it's a very good talking point. And I feel like we need to get out the vibe early that just say you were going to do something like this. Don't do that. Don't do that. But... apparently, what is this in, Corey? You've been following this one. It's in Production Weekly or something.
It's like a trade magazine for professionals in the film industry. Yeah.
And the listings are sort of like IMDb-esque in that they're vague and maybe and so right, maybe not.
Kind of a gist. It's just so that you know, like, what the project is and like what the general timetable is. I think generally it's a lot of times for like crew members, because in the film industry, a lot of it, unless you're working directly for a studio, is like it's a gig economy. So you're just kind of working at one job and you don't know when you're going to work the next. So you look at Production Weekly to see what's up, because you could go day play or you could go and like apply to work there.
Oh, tell me about it. You just don't know day to day. Whose free food you're going to be eating. It's an exciting world out there, except for now, because nothing's filming. So Jermaine Lussier, who's just such a good dude, he's over at Gizmodo. He's contacted these little people at Lucasfilm, and they've said most of it is wrong, essentially. Where's the actual...
Lucasfilm says a lot of things.
I've got a lot of prefaces for this story because they are happy to just say no, that's not true, and it is like that sort of and don't even get me started about Kathleen Kennedy. She doesn't know what's going on. I just think she just keeps saying these contradictory things about what's been announced and stuff, and I think like,
doing a project or
and like Mangold working on a Boba Fett thing. And I just don't think she's just in this bubble away from like general news and stuff that she doesn't remember what's, because she knows it all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or does she? You think she's like, you know how like for presidents or like sometimes their administration won't tell them stuff like on purpose? Maybe Lucasfilm, they like secretly don't tell Kathy everything.
So it's honestly like your worst take. You have some pretty bad takes. I love you, but you have some pretty bad takes.
Yeah, no, I need to rein in my conspiracy theories. I apologize.
I feel like you had a lot last week, too.
I did.
Man, I'm not even going to bring up that submarine then. Wow. Who knows what you think's going on there? I've already heard some wild ones. But let's the listing is as follows. Star Wars New Jedi Order feature film. It does, like, just that the title's in there, or the, like, it just does seem like it's a bit, someone else has pasted it in to make a listing. Like, they're like, oh, let's get some info in about this. But anyway, and it's got all the Lucasfilm details. Daisy Ridley cast. Now, this is the interesting bit. And this is where we've got to, like, get the word out, in my opinion. But this is the potential, or the what they've put in, which apparently has been debunked, but who knows. Set roughly 15 years after Rey's victory over Palpatine and the end of Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker. Now, first of all, bring up Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker in the description. Does seem foolhardy, maybe. I don't know. But anyway, the sequel delves into Rey's... It says sequel as well. It says it's a sequel. So that's Star Wars Episode 10.
Well, I mean, she's Rey Skywalker, so as much as they may say it's not the Skywalker saga, it's the Skywalker saga.
Oh, they say a lot of things. The sequel delves into Rey's courageous endeavor to restore the Jedi Order, where she assumes the role of a mentor to two promising young students, a girl and a boy. As their training progresses, it becomes evident that the girl possesses an extraordinary... abilities, which isn't correct English. Not that I should be bringing that up. Destined to emerge as a future leader. Release date, May 22, 2026. Now...
Isn't this all the synopsis for The Acolyte?
No.
I got it.
No?
With the, like...
No.
No.
You idiot.
Right, with the siblings, and they made a big deal about how about that at this last celebration, and there had been whispers about it.
I honestly don't even know what you're talking about, but that's possible.
Nick Smith says, are we expecting episode 10, or should it feel more like a spin-off? I think it's episode 10,
yeah.
But it's not called a spin-off. It's called The New Jedi Order, or something like that. And
they're not going to call it episode 10, but it's basically episode 10.
Star 10 with just the X and Vin Diesel and family.
Yeah.
Star Wars is about family. Star Wars has always been about the Skywalkers and the Palpatines.
Oh, God.
Yes.
Corey. But, like.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This may or may not be true, but I feel like I'm warranted. I just want to get an early shot out there, and it's worrisome because for me, doing another story where the main Jedi sorry, Jackie's texting me and it's distracting me. Anyway, the oh my God, she's really done my head in. Yeah, don't do another movie where the main Jedi from the last series isn't in it that much and there's a new generation. Like give us just some in the prime Jedi. Like, don't, yeah. You can't, like, I, you know, for people that like didn't like Rey for whatever reason, like, it's sort of like the Rise of Skywalker type thing where if she's not in it as much, it might please them.
Yeah.
But then you're burning the people like me that like loved Ray and just want to see a chunk of Ray. Like, don't put the perceived main event that you're bringing back like over to the side, sort of thing. It's and you see the same thing with like with the film release. They'd learn their lesson on the film releases. And as we talked about last week, we've got 3 in 18 months or something like that.
Yeah. But
Aubrey, what do you think about this potential elevator pitch storyline?
I mean, I think it's hard to pitch that it's supposed to be a 15-year time jump when people have seen her so recently in Rise of Skywalker. And the actress is still clearly the same age. Like, you could argue maybe like 5 years or like 7 years or something, but 15 seems to be pushing it. I think.
Yeah, it's 8 years more than. So it's 7 years after Rise of Skywalker when this movie comes out. So that'd be eight years added, basically.
Yeah, I don't know. And then on top of that.
Well, she did get a lot older in one day. Did you notice that in the Star Wars movies?
Oh, like
it was like the next day, and she was like 3 years older.
Yes.
That's true.
That's true. That's very true.
That's true.
But then I don't know how I feel about like the story being about other people and not her.
I think that's foolish. That's such like a. Yeah.
It's potentially foolish.
If
it makes sense that it's like a spinoff as opposed to episode 10, then, but still, like, you're totally fumbling the bag.
It's just like, why would you want to introduce new characters when you still have to flesh out this character? Like, it's like, it's premature.
Like, you can't even sell merchandise with the other side characters from this era that you've introduced. Why the heck are you adding even more characters?
Like, there's gonna be new characters.
Yeah, well, it's,
but yeah.
But do you know what I mean? Like, that's like just what like, it's gonna be. But like, don't, like, just put Ray in the center. Like,
yeah.
Nicholas says, won't be far off to be fair. Rey is 19 in The Force Awakens, The Last Jedi. So 15 years on, she would be 34 or 35.
Okay, but there's a time jump between TFA, TLJ, and Rise of Skywalker as well.
It's only like 2 years.
Is it only 2 years?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the whole trilogy happens within 2 years.
That means we're supposed to believe that she's like pushing 40?
Actually, I think it's just a year. Between The Last Jedi and The Rise of Skywalker, it's a year.
Anyway, it doesn't matter how old, the age isn't the thing.
Yeah.
Like, if she's 5 years older in the movie or not, if she's not in the movie that
much. How old is she supposed to be? 37? Like, I can't look at her and think, oh, you're almost 40. After just seeing you when apparently you were supposed to be a teenager.
You find out that half her scenes are with Rose Tico, so she's not even in the movie.
Yeah. I don't know. It seems... I always find it a little bit interesting, too, that the...
Okay, Joel says the sequel trilogy takes place only within a year. That's a few people were saying within a year.
That's what I thought, yeah. Well, it's interesting to me that... it still is interesting that Disney or Lucasfilm is starting off a whole new era of Star Wars movies with a sequel to the sequel trilogy right off the bat. It's definitely
a choice. It's an interesting move. I think if they had decided, like, hey, we're going to carve out a ton of media in the sequel trilogy instead of ignoring it like we have been, and then have these characters from the trilogy kind of like pop up every once in a while. So, for example, if Mando hadn't been a thing, right, and we're just like right after Rise of Skywalker, and they were like, you know what, instead of like this Mandoverse thing, we're gonna do TV spinoff television franchise thing in this era, and it'll be side characters doing their thing, and then oh, look, these people will pop up. That would make a lot more sense. But you've made such a big deal of ignoring your sequel trilogy forever and ever and ever. So why the heck, Lucasfilm, are you just like going back to it now like this?
But are you talking about merchandising?
No, just in general. Like they've kind of ignored the sequel trilogy. It's ever like Lucasfilm wants to go back to the original trilogy all the time, and then especially the prequel trilogy, right?
I mean, we did just come back from Disneyland that has a whole park dedicated to the sequel trilogy.
Yeah, but it came out before Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah, I mean,
I think in retrospect that the money men, the bean counters, regret that it's set there.
I would agree. I do think they're, yeah, I think we've seen a lot of original trilogy and prequel trilogy stuff because I think they've realized that's what sells the most.
Then why go back to the sequel trilogy then? Again, yeah, just like let it be. It didn't work.
I think they should go back to the sequel trilogy. I just wouldn't do it off the bat. But
they are doing it off the bat and then they're making...
But I don't know. I think it's a good...
Like own it or not own it.
The three films, I think, are a good combo. And I feel like the Mangold one's going to take the longest. And then the Filoni one sort of got the, like, it's sort of like, it's going to be a big thing because of that. But I don't mind the first one coming back being the Rey one, if it is. But I guess
I would have started with the Filoni one.
Yeah, I think everyone, is that
they might need the extra time again because they've got to put in other shows to fill it in.
Yeah.
I think if Disney feels like they can go back to the box office with a sequel trilogy spinoff and like totally start to own it again, they're sorely mistaken.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, they should go
off of the Mando stuff and done Filoni's one first.
I think they should just give just a hardcore awesome Jedi Rey like adventure. Just the so you guys don't and you know the other thing is
we're jaded.
Is people are used, like they're used to paying to go to the movies to see Rey. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
the Filoni thing is like it is off the talent. Like, I definitely think there'll be people with that where it's just like, oh yeah, I'm just gonna wait, for it's on the thing. Like, more so because it's part of like those characters. I am not one of those people, but I do think it's there. Now, Corey, I wanted to bring this up, buddy.
Yes.
There was a controversy online.
This is exciting.
That you made me aware of.
Yeah. Dumbest thing I've seen, for sure.
And it's Ahsoka's crossing her arms too much.
Yeah. So for some reason, there's been an outpour of craziness in the Star Wars community. Throughout social medias,
yeah.
A lot of people, and again, a lot as in the very few that are just a little bit, you know. And so it's just a picture of Ahsoka crossing her arms in the, you know, previews for the Ahsoka show. Now, every time I see an image like that released, my media thought is, oh, that's Ahsoka because that's a trait she has, so it makes sense. A lot of people, not a lot of people, but the select few are saying that it's ridiculous. That's all she does in live action, blah, blah, blah. Clearly haven't watched the trailer. Clearly haven't watched any episodes of her throughout the show. But it's been a thing. I just thought it was kind of goofy. I thought I'd bring it up.
The well, these GIFs I've got up on the screen, the Jedis, they love a crossed arm.
Mm-hmm.
They're all busting it out. I just think, like, is it because of the promo shots? Like, I could understand the critique of, like, all these promo shots are boring.
Not even that.
Because quite often they are. They don't, like, spark imagination. It's just like it's Andor against a concrete wall.
Yeah, no, yes. Exactly. Yeah, no, because that I understand. But the promo shots are always like, eh. But the...
Exactly.
The debate of, like
people this... Are well, no, because
people
were arms.
Saying, like, this is not who Ahsoka is. This isn't a good adaption of Ahsoka from animation. It's like, it's the perfect adaption. It's like, I think Rosario Dawson does capture Ahsoka's essence like perfectly. So
no one can cross their arms quite like her.
That's right. But not just that, like all the traits.
Like people were like, oh my gosh, this show is going to be so terrible. And like jumping to these insane conclusions just because they saw a frame of the film.
I do see the arm cross photos of Rosario Dawson and go, oh yeah, classic Ahsoka.
Yeah.
It does seem like in the cartoon she did do it a lot. But yeah. I also find with Ahsoka, there's one of those areas of fandom where there's like an intense passion for certain traits or whatever that I don't quite understand or have the time to divert the energy to. Like, do you know what I mean? It's sort of like, yeah. Oh, people get really worked up over that. And I couldn't even be bothered looking into the ins and outs, like the two and the four or why everyone's like loves or hates an author. Like, it's just sort of like, it's not going to help me at all.
Yeah, it's kind of, I ignored it for like, because it's been going off like 2-3 months and it's like, whatever. But the other day I thought it was funny because somebody finally tweeted out a picture of all the different times Ahsoka's like crossed her arms in the Clone Wars and it's tons and in Rebels and then put the, it's such a stupid thing. Like even the fact that I brought it up is stupid, but like.
It was funny.
It's a funny thing.
There were people like trying to cancel one another because of their opinions about Ahsoka crossing her arms or not. It was very goofy. It was very goofy.
Interesting.
What was that?
Very ironic that a crossed arm, it's sort of like a cancel sign.
It's
interesting for sure. Hey, this is what I was going to talk about before we started the show, and then I was like, oh, we'll just talk about the show. So Comic-Con, right? They're saying that all these studios aren't going to be there. But are they going to, like, and you know, that's because of the writer's strike and potential actor's strike that the actors aren't going to go on and talk about how good the show is going to be as part of their, you know, strike, which yes, giant corporations do give artists more money, please. That'd be great. Cause bro, I haven't had a free meal for months. It's going on now because of this strike. It's horrible. Starving. But anyway, so Marvel and HBO and that up, but is like Lucasfilm going to have their stand and stuff?
So nothing's been announced yet, really, for Comic-Con at all. The only thing that they said is going to be there's like Marvel's going to have a booth, so I'm assuming Lucasfilm will.
Okay, so Marvel is going to have a booth.
Yeah, if Marvel has it, Lucasfilm will.
Because our figures aren't going to have a booth, the sideshow thing.
I know. Oh my god, it's so that was the first sign of a downfall for me. It was the no sideshow being there was
because going around and filming those things.
It's so fun.
It's so fun.
And it's, you know what's weird is Sideshow has like the biggest booth at Comic-Con. Taking that, I don't know what they could possibly fill in that space. So like, because every time you go, like, it's an experience. It's more than just like showing here's the products you could buy. It's like, it's cool. You get to see every single hot toy and Sideshow and, you know, whatever else they market right in that little area, not a huge area.
Well, like last year it was weird because the usual HBO. Like booth wasn't there either, and it was like a very clear, weird space where you're like, "Oh, it feels really right here." Yeah.
Well, so now HBO is not there, and Sideshow is not there, and one thing to know too is the price. Like
Universal's not going either.
The price you'd have to pay to rent out that Sideshow booth would be, I don't even want to know. Like, it would be probably 50 to 60 grand, maybe more.
Yeah.
So like, I don't know. They're
definitely, so the way it works is they're, most of the studios are not doing actual panels, but they will still be on the convention floor because the studios can still do stuff no matter if like talent or crew on production side or anything like that are striking. However, like there could still be some interesting big panel presentations that are about things and like TV shows and movies that are coming out, but it would just be hosted by like the people working for the studio as opposed to actors, writers, and potentially directors. So
yeah,
it'll definitely be like less eventful. There will probably still be announcements, but it won't be like as hypey.
Well, now Ahsoka comes out. Oh, good.
No, you go, Corey.
Ahsoka comes out about 4 weeks after Comic-Con, which is usually around the time that Lucasfilm starts to market their shows. So I do think that their booth is going to be very Ahsoka heavy. I think all like the Hasbro panel will be very focused on Ahsoka reveals. Actually, let me look back on that. Yeah, no.
But like last year Comic-Con, they had like a lot more Obi-Wan things. So they had the Obi-Wan. Though. They know, so they had some of the Obi-Wan costumes. Oh, and then like Trends and her universe and stuff. They had special like and
oh, but the show just villains. Finished though. The show just finished.
I know, but still, and what? They even did this right Skywalker. Yeah, where you know
that's not.
I know, but they have them in the Lucasfilm Pavilion at like at Comic-Con.
Oh yeah, yeah. Yeah.
They like let their licensed the companies that they licensed Star Wars to in their pavilion all together, and so I think. Even if they don't have announcements, I doubt they'll have announcements, but they'll probably have those costumes there and they'll probably have like Trends with some sort of like key art posters that they're selling for Ahsoka, and her universe has some more like new Ahsoka like jackets and I don't know.
That'll well, in terms it. Of Hasbro.
yeah. Printing a t-shirt or a poster that is.
Yeah.
I can do that, bro.
Exactly. Like, they'll feature it, but it's not going to be, like, they're not going to announce anything.
Oh, Seth says it's 2 months today till Comic-Con. That can't be right, can it?
I think no. Till Ahsoka.
Oh, till Ahsoka. Okay.
Yeah, Comic-Con's in 4 weeks.
Yeah. And then... Yeah.
I don't know. We'll Comic-Con. See. I'm very interested in this Comic-Con because last year, or... The year that the first year I went was in 2018 when Clone Wars came back. Marvel was not there. HBO, I think, had limited maybe capacity. I don't remember. I think
HBO was definitely there.
Clone Wars was the big thing. Star Wars had a huge presence that year. I don't think Star Wars has had that big of a presence since. So I don't know. Yeah,
and it was weird because Star Wars hadn't been at Comic-Con forever. And then randomly they announced that they were doing the that Clone Wars panel.
Yeah, so I would say if the strike wasn't a thing that was going to happen, I actually think this year we might have gotten.
Oh, Corey.
I don't think so.
I don't even want to waste time on what might have happened if the strike was like. It's just that's something for you to think about when you're on the train looking out the window or something.
It is. It very much is. I thought about it today on the way home.
Oh my stars! I was checking out the old the Bespin Bulletin, and they had this little thing about Patty Jenkins' husband apparently wrote a version of the Rogue Squadron story, Sam Sheridan, and all he has done is TV shows. So he had a theory that it might have been a television type draft. But I would be shocked to see this in a theater.
Yeah.
I think if it's a TV show, because you could do it for so long.
Yeah.
Like yeah. even, and like, yeah, I just think that would be X-Wings all the time. But then you sort of think like, oh, maybe on a movie scale. But I don't know. Is it that different? X-Wings on a... The X-Wings and the Mandalorian look pretty good.
Yeah, I think maybe the only drawback is like not getting that, you know, theater experience with the sounds and whatever they were going for with like the sort of Top Gun version of Star Wars. That would be the only drawback, I would think.
I don't know how well it would do after Maverick did so well.
I think it would do very well if it was marketed like that.
You're not going to get people to go, I loved Maverick, so I'm going to see it. Like, it's not.
But I think if you're trying to do like Top Gun, but in space, and something already just did like a revamp of Top Gun, and it was like pretty even critically good, it might just feel like, this is a little bit cheesy now.
I would, I'm not into AI stuff at all.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like on the ridiculous end of things, it would be nice. But if I had to do one AI thing, they said you have to use it once. I would get a Star Wars version of Top Gun. So the exact same story.
Ooh.
But with the character. So when they're playing volleyball on the beach, it's like a topless Neam Nub.
Oh my gosh.
Like, and he's, you know, and they're all there, and Wedge is there, top, like flexing, and I'm not sure what Hawkins would be doing. But I would like if it was just the exact same story and they just put in, I don't know who would be the two people vying for Top Gun. Who's your Iceman?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Dak?
Dak.
No.
Biggs.
Biggs. Biggs and Wedge.
Yeah, I was going to say Wedge would be the one. Yeah. For sure.
And Wedge.
Yeah. And the guy, the other guy who's in the gold.
The other guy.
Yeah.
The other guy.
He's real good, that one. Love it. Love the other guy. Hey, I'll show you this other weird thing. Not weird, but unexpected thing that caught my interest. And I saw this on Twitter. Oh, you know that girl?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. But there's this thing, an account I found on Twitter, legends_con. And in Burbank, they're doing a Kickstarter for a fan-run Star Wars Legends convention.
Oh, that's about, cool.
All the thing. And I just thought that was really cool. So if you're into that, if you're into your Corran Horn, eh?
Hey.
I remember someone. Go check that out at legends_con. And I just think it's cool that like they like this thing and they're talking about what they like about it.
Yeah.
Rather than what they don't like about the other thing. A Clone Wars con.
Yeah.
Okay. They should do like Corey's Clone Wars con. And like the Jedi Master package, it's quite expensive. But over the weekend, you get 34 meet and greets with Ashley Eckstein.
There can be Darth Vader.
That's really funny.
Dave Campbell, my buddy back in Australia, he says Wedge is absolutely Iceman. I like it. So Legends Con. What's your favorite Legends thing, Aubrey?
Old Republic. Very good video games.
Ah, so the video game, not a book. Because I instantly go to books.
Ah, okay. Oh. Well, book-wise.
You are correct. By your definition, you are correct. But
yeah, I like the Legacy era, but that's comics too.
What's Star Wars Legacy? Is that 100 years in the future with Luke Skywalker's, like, grandniece or something?
I think it's, like, grand something son, Cade Skywalker. And so it's Cade. It's Star Wars, but the future. And there's Force Ghost Luke, and it's awesome.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I believe, I could be, I'm pretty sure. I believe the rule in Legends was you were not allowed to kill Luke Skywalker.
Well.
And, but the way they got away with it in Legacy was that because they said it's so far in the future, it wouldn't make sense for Luke to be around anymore. So then he was a Force ghost, so that was the workaround.
It's really good. It's fun. It has, they did this like crossover event where there were, I think, three different comics going on at the same time. So there's one in the Old Republic about a Jedi named Zane Carrick. There was another one around the original trilogy and then Legacy at the same time. And they did the Vector event where there was like this Old Republic Jedi who ended up in like a stasis pod. And so like that week, if you read the comics, you'd like be able to follow her storyline because she went from being in the Old Republic to the
original. But she's frozen the whole time.
Well, no. And so Vader takes her out of stasis and then puts her back in because she has like this curse and it's like a whole thing. And then she ends up in the Legacy era as well.
That sounds so cool.
You would have loved it.
That's like that they came up with a comic book, and they probably have, between Empire and Jedi, where Han gets unfrozen then refrozen.
No, okay. So, but the thing
isn't there a story where Princess Leia gets frozen that they just did?
I don't know.
Or is it? No, Boba Fett loses Han and then gets him back.
Yeah, they did.
Still sounds better than...
But the reason she has to be in stasis is because she has, like, this talisman that has a Sith Lord ghost in it. And she's the only one that can, like, contain the Sith ghost or else he'll, like, wreak havoc on the galaxy. So she has to have it on her and she has to be in stasis. And that's the only way to, like, keep the Sith from...
Aubrey, you have this...
It's so cool.
You have this unique ability to enthusiastically make something sound worse. Like you're like, oh, but she has this talon with like a Sith devil and it's just like.
It's so cool still. Oh my gosh. I think you would love Legacy though.
No, you would not.
You have Darth Krayt who comes from, he's Oscar Het. He's Oscar Het. It's from like.
Does Krayt face Cade?
Yes, Krayt.
Oh, it's with a K.
He's a Clone Wars Jedi who ends up.
That is very 90s.
Stuck in like the Maw in this like place between life and death and the Force, and so he just stays there. So then he doesn't age, and so then he ends up in the Legacy era, and he's a Sith this time. I know it sounds so dumb, but it's so good. That's where you have Darth Talon, the red Twi'lek.
Oh, okay.
Legacy.
Yeah, that whole frozen and getting like Fry in Futurama. That's a horrible device to get this character through all these comics.
It still sounds better than Mando season 3, so I'll take it.
It's good. It's a claim.
There is an Obi-Wan Kenobi comic coming out.
Oh, yeah.
And I have an update on the top Star Wars Obi-Wan Kenobi trading cards. I have an update. I've seen all of them steal.
What?
I've seen all of them.
How?
They've been out. I watched a YouTube video on a collector opening all the... Because, you know, before I invested, I wanted to see.
You should have done a reaction video to watching the video.
So I watched somebody opening all the packs and can confirm that they are the exact images you thought they would be. Awkward close-ups. Like, yeah, nothing.
Not of us. But the comic will be interesting because this, like the person who does the comic book art for this line is an infamous tracer and traces from frames of things.
Yeah.
So we could be in the comic.
It's possible.
Oh my god, that would be something. Bring on the tracer. That's the only way I thought I'd be able to get in there. Hey, I'll tell you this really weird thing that I've totally forgotten till now. I wonder if I've got it on video. Remember at Celebration, and it was before like Kenobi got screened, so we were still all secret, some more than others. But there was this sandcastle at Downtown Disney.
Yes.
And it would change every day. They'd totally rebuild this Kenobi sandcastle.
Mm. Yep.
And there was this one, because the show hadn't come out. And I didn't know what frames of mine would be used. And because I carried this rug around the whole time. And there was a character in the sandcastle carrying a rug. Do you remember seeing this?
Let me find it. I remember we were looking at it and I was like, I think that's steel.
You like sent a photo to Steel, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's Steel. Just they've crafted him in the sandcastle.
Let me find it. I should still have it on my phone.
How I've got some of these cards up. Heroes.
Yeah.
It doesn't really have. I need more photos. Wait there. So what were you going through when you were watching these this card opening, Corey?
Denial. Yeah, I think we found it. Okay, so let me see when this was. This was on.
This is like where this was before. Let me see.
Yeah,
I was there on May 4th.
Yeah, I think might have been the Wonder and Celebration.
They changed it a few times.
Just show me all the cards. Am I on the same page? Oh, no, this might be different. Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
I think I have a photo.
Ah, assigned Princess Leia. I tell you what, right? What is up? I absolutely adore her. But this little Princess Leia.
Yeah.
Taking away all little Luke's shine. You don't hear anything about little Luke.
Oh no, little Luke. Yeah, he had like a second of a moment.
My little dude Grant. He was filming before the strike. I'm sure he's not a scab, not my Luke Skywalker. But yeah, that's my little Luke. Come on,
Aubrey sent you the photo on Twitter.
Oh, okay. Fascinating. Of the thing. Here we go.
Yeah. I do think this is it.
Right there. So what we have here is a sandcastle. God, this brings me back. Back when it was a secret about the Kenobi thing.
Yeah.
We were like taking photos of every promotional Obi-Wan thing ever.
But here's the thing, right? So can you see my cursor on the screen?
Yeah.
Yeah. So this guy here was carrying a rug. And I filmed a scene. Like there's a shot when at the end when Obi-Wan works out with the Kadu. And they cut it. The editor blew it because I came out of this laneway right at the end and I just nailed walking down a space street with a rug, right? Past this dude with space camel. And they chopped it off first. But it was very weird to see. I think that the paranoia was so high to me at the time that someone was going to recognize me off the sandcastle. And the secret would be out too early.
Steals a little Sandman there.
Yeah.
That's funny.
No, it's a Sandman.
Hey, I've got another, talking about this Luke and Obi-Wan, or Luke and Rey, sorry. Luke and Rey. Luke and Leia. And Leia stealing the thunder of Luke. You've got to check this out. This is hurting my feelings quite a bit.
Oh, no.
So there's this fun story, little tweet. I didn't click on it because I'm not going to do it, but I thought it was cool. StarWars.com posted this thing about how to make your own droid wind chimes, right? Out of old paint cans or something. And they do look, you know, like they're fun if you've got skills.
Wow,
and you
cool.
can and you can do and you can do them. Wait, I might spend that a bit smaller. But look, you know how they've always got their favorite characters? That yeah. Oh, let's make this and that. You know, it's always Grogu, whatever. Well, check this out. in the top three astromechs now, Chopper, R2-D2. And then bloody R5-D4 has just jetpacked his way past BB-8. And now he's in the top three astromechs.
I feel like that's very Chopper to, like, go and cut right in front of R2 and be like, hey, it's me.
What? Yeah. Don't worry about Chopper! What's R5-D? Oh.
There's a new resurgence, I think.
Lucasfilm wants us to love him.
I feel like he might be the worst character in Star Wars 4.
Says the person who likes Toro Calican.
Oh, he's great. Ooh. He's fantastic.
I love Toro. Yeah. Toro.
I miss him. I miss him so dearly.
I believe that.
He was so good. Remember on it was the Book of Boba Fett. And remember they went back in time and Toro was alive again?
Yes, I knew you were right. I'll never forget watching it for the first time. And as that scene happened, I'm like, oh, Steele's probably just glued to his TV right now, waiting for the moment.
And then we watched your reaction like as soon as we could, and you're like screaming, you're like, Toro's right there!
He was just over the hill. It was like Back to the Future 2. It was invigorating. It was so fun. It was just like he was just there. So how are you doing, Corey, with the 2 month countdown to a
song? I'm getting excited. Yeah, I mean, I feel like, and this is my honest to God truth about the status of Star Wars for me is this show's going to make it or break it. I think, like, if it's fantastic, which I think it will, because it's Dave, I'm going to be full steam ahead. Like, this is amazing. We have a great story coming up.
I need to start hiding.
But,
Corey's about to draw a line in the sand here.
But if it's not good, and I don't think it will not be good, I don't see that happening.
I will again sell my Funko collection for the 37th time.
They're all boxed up, ready to go if need be.
After Mando season 3, Corey had like just gotten like a fun setup, and he had a ton of Mando hot toys and stuff. The moment Mando season 3 ended, he was like, "Well, I guess I'm selling my hot toys." And he sold all of his Mando merchandise. He has no Mando merchandise left.
I don't need it. Nah. I go for the greats.
I'm just so I'm pretty low key on it, but I'm trying to stay low key. So then when it comes out, I'm just like, yes.
See, I
so want it to be a yes.
I'm trying to be that way as well and be like, you know, I'm gonna wait, it's gonna be fine. But then they show me, you know, she's got the arm crossed, I'm like, that's Ahsoka.
I tell you what, though, if it is killer and all the story makes sense, Favreau, buddy.
Well, Favreau has nothing to do with it. It's just off.
No. But it's sort of like it's very telling that you've taken that component out. That's
I already know who the problem is.
This is how bitter I am. I want it to be good just to spite Favreau for his season 3.
Poor Fabs.
Are you excited for next week, the making of Star Wars The Mandalorian season 3?
Oh, that's my
I'm fascinated to know how they made that. Fascinated.
Yeah. What are they going to show us that's like interesting and innovative that they didn't already show us in like 1 and 2 in the
book? How to botch a script.
How many minutes of it will be dedicated to Jack Black's wacky faces between takes?
Yeah.
Christopher Lloyd. A lot of cameos.
Yeah, it's okay. Skinny Pete was cool. The finale just looks like...
Don't say it.
The finale looks like it had so much more there, but like somebody had 2 edits. This was like the bad edit of the finale and then a really good edit. And the intern was like, oh, I destroyed the thumb drive on accident but had a good cut in it. So this is what we have.
Well, didn't Katie Sackhoff and Giancarlo Esposito say that they filmed way more scenes that they were actually really excited about?
Well, Giancarlo Esposito, one of the best actors of our generation, like no doubt about it, was given such a terrible role in the show, but he, which could have been great, but he talked about this on an interview the other day. He's like, yeah, I haven't heard anything about The Mandalorian season 4. John Favreau hasn't approached me. And I'm thinking, dude, no more. It's we're done. It's over. It's just not. It's gone.
But what if that was a clone?
I don't want it.
Oh, Aubrey.
No, but watch it. No, I really think oh, of no. The level of story writing right now.
There's no level of story
it's
writing
totally,
right
now. He's totally a clone. Like, I'm setting my expectations low. My expectations are low.
No.
No.
I won't be disappointed if my expectations are low.
My expectations are still low for The Mandalorian.
You guys will be devastated. I'll just be like, yep, I figured.
I won't be I wouldn't care. If he comes back and is like, that was a clone, I'd go, dang, that sucks, because he still sucks.
Hey, yeah.
Let me tell you something.
Ask you something, Corey. How many ridiculous things per episode does Aubrey say now? Like, this and last week.
Never more than 12.
You should see our reactions. Our reactions are filled with me. If anybody who goes back to look at our Mandalorian reactions, you can tell the difference between Aubrey and I and our personalities off the bat, where you'll see me react to something going, oh my God. And Aubrey will be like, oh my goodness, that's amazing. And literally sometimes we'll have to cut things out because we'll be at the end of a reaction. And Aubrey will be like, you're going to depress the people who watch us. And I'm like, dude, I'm depressed. Like, I can't watch it.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Another question. Have you let me talk off the laptop sound the entire episode and I just changed it then?
No. I've heard the mic the whole time.
Oh, interesting. Okay. I just changed the setting, but well, no one complained about it, so that's something. What? David Campbell, I urge people to watch season 1 next to season 3.
No.
Season 3 is the stronger of the... Oh.
No.
Wait.
No.
Wait. Just wait there, Aubrey. Save your breath, bud. Here we go.
It's honestly like your worst take. You have some pretty bad takes. I love you, but you have some pretty bad takes.
What?
That was worse than the take that I was talking about in that clip. And that take was Corey saying that the Clone Wars movie is better than Phantom Menace.
Okay. Josh says, I sounded fine. Now I'm a little louder. So there you go. Yeah, I can't even, like David's a very nice guy, but I have to, I'm just like, are you all right? Like, because 1 and 3. Come on.
Season 3 reminds me, it's like a colonoscopy, right? Like you're not.
Okay. Next topic. That's enough of that. Jeez.
This is a really good analogy coming up.
Go on a Raj's podcast if you want to talk about stuff like that. Honestly. All right. Well, anything else going on in the world of Star Wars?
Ahsoka's in 2 months. I think it's gonna be very good. I'm very excited. I think at the very least, it could just be good, and that'd be good enough, I guess.
Star Wars Hunters is still not out.
It's officially been a year since Obi-Wan ended.
Yeah, do you have any 2-year retrospective about shooting Kenobi and 1-year retrospective about Kenobi being out?
Well, I look forward to finally putting out some of the hours of footage I have.
Love a lot of footage.
I've just got to get started. I've got a deadline because I'm on another podcast, I think next week, and I plugged it. So I've got to get the first bit of footage out because we've got stuff from the Kenobi like filming, like, it's like a court case. I've got like recorded phone calls with Corey.
we should make a documentary. This should be a documentary.
Well, that's what I'm going to do little like, you know, like 10 minute little things. All
we
the way
should
up.
Go reenact things.
That would be good. I would die to know what that set looks like now, though.
Yeah, I don't think it's...
The quarry?
I think it's gone.
You reckon it's just flat?
Yeah.
Man, that's sad.
More than likely.
All right. Well, wait there. I'll type in Star Wars into Google. This is always great. This is always good. What's the Hasbro Comic Con exclusive?
We don't know yet.
Oh, really? Yeah.
You know what we gotta do? What we will do is still, because we do this every year, we'll do a breakdown of all the exclusives once they announce it all, because there was some ripping good times in years past when we've gone over their exclusives.
Corey's trying to drag me to the Hasbro panel for this year.
Oh, what? You don't go to the Hasbro panel?
Yeah,
it's the best.
There's always other things I want to go see at the same time.
No, there's not.
Yeah, there was
no last year. You just literally left to walk the floor.
Well, then I heard that they released these like really butt ugly like Halloween repaints on top of, I don't know, they released something else and the Hasbro people got booed.
I forget if I told you this or not, Steele, but the funniest part of the Hasbro panel last year was about 5 minutes before the panel started, Hasbro accidentally tweeted out every single reveal. It was supposed to happen at the panel. So I'm on Twitter. I'm right next to Dom. I'm on Twitter. And I see all of it on my phone. It's all in like the squares. So it's like 8 photos of like 5 figures per square. You just see all of it. And I turned to Dom and I was like, hey, so do you want to be surprised during this panel or do you want to see all of it right now? And you could casually see collectors looking at their phones and then looking up thinking about leaving.
You said you saw people leave.
I saw
right?
people leave,
and then people were booing during the panel as well.
Yeah, there was an occasional booing, but there's a lot of cheering.
What sort of stuff? Well, that's why I have to. That's why I think it's so fun to go to. I am interested to see what figures are going
to
come out.
Oh, we have to do it.
But
yeah,
hearing the cheers and the sighs and
it's incredible. It's incredible.
I we've talked about this before, but I'll never forget the stunned silence at Celebration Anaheim when they announced the HasLab as Reva's lightsaber. It was just like they had this crazy video and stuff, and then afterwards it was just like, what? Like, shouldn't this just be a normal product? Like, it's just very bizarre. Are you furious that the Flash's Michael Shannon turned down a Star Wars role?
No.
Devastated.
It's just let people do what they want.
Yeah.
It's like going to a chef. It's like, why don't you work at McDonald's? It's like, well, that's just not what I'm doing, bro.
Yeah.
All right. I should point out that if you are on our the old Steel Wars, where is all my things gone? Patreon. We've been banging out, me and Hawes do this Star Wars history podcast called Star Wars Year by Podcast. And in the last, we've done sort of one a week for the past couple of weeks. And we just put out 1986 part two. And so we go through all the Star Wars news of that period. And it's so much fun. If you, Corey, buddy. Have you ever wanted to see giant animated Ewoks that are actually furry ice skate?
I do. Yeah, I've been.
Well, you got to check it out, my bro. You got to check it out.
You need to check it out.
But Corey, you're a known plugger. What do you got?
At Corey underscore Wolfpack on Twitter and Instagram. At ComWorkCall on YouTube and Instagram and Twitter.
What did you say? What was the address you were giving out then?
At the Commodore call,
you said it in such a way that it was like a different language. Like,
sorry,
and one of those confusing ones where you have to make your tongue do new things. Like, it's like at the call, like what? How do you spell that?
No,
yeah, I'm learning new things
always.
All right, here's should we end? This is good, actually. It can go cynical or it can be turned a little bit happy. But Chad puts up a great question.
It will not be a failure. I'll tell you that right now.
The rumor is that it won't be a failure.
What failed HasLab product will be announced this Comic-Con? What's the rumor? I'm not aware of
this. The rumor is that it's going to be the Ghost, and it's going to come with each tier is going to be a vintage carded Rebels character. So like Hera, Sabine, Ezra, Kanan, Rex, Ahsoka. And so it's going to be a big one.
So in vintage style size.
Yeah.
Like if it is that, I don't buy big things like that, but that's insane.
Yeah.
Like that's what you should be making.
Yeah, and yeah, I would be very excited. That'd be my first HasLab, I think.
Watch it be like Palpatine's throne room or something like that.
That's yeah.
Everyone's excited for the Ghost, and then they announce that, and they're like, "And here's the new thing for you, army builder lovers out there."
Yeah.
Yes, yeah, I love. I can't wait to be there.
I asked.
We should. Do you think it would be? Do you think? Do you know what I'd want to do? It might be a bit. I'd like to be at the back of the room doing a live commentary on YouTube while it's happening. That's
yeah. I want to do that.
Almost like a sports commentary where you're talking about like the way that things are being announced too.
Yeah, we need to bring in with us like one of those like Perspex chambers so no one else could hear us or something.
Or we could just do facial reactions. We'll plant the camera right in front of us on a tripod in the back. And, you just see. That's the way. That's the move.
That's yeah. Oh yeah. Hey, does anyone want to watch our faces for an hour as they announced new Clone Wars army builders? That'd be sweet. Yeah. All right, very exciting. I'm sad those 7-Eleven cheeseburgers aren't still good. I think about it all the time. It won't be the same without those cheeseburgers.
No, it won't.
Yikes.
No more food poisoning.
We never... Did you get food poisoning, do you think?
I'm sure.
I don't think it was food.
Yeah, that's true.
So I don't think it can count. Hey,
I agree.
Hey, it may have had poison, but bro, it wasn't food. That was so good, though.
It was.
All right, so that's in a month. We'll have to speak after the show about the arrangements. All right, Aubrey, do you want to say the website address in an understandable manner before we go?
Yeah, you can find us both on at the Convor Call on Twitter, YouTube, Instagram. You can find Corey at Corey underscore Wolfpack. You can find me at Dreamed of Magic. And then I do Lord of the Rings stuff on our YouTube channel, and I'm also an editor for Streamer Entertainment. So if you want to read Outlander reviews, then you should check out my stuff.
Yeah. Oh, hey, I'm going to show you something. I'm not sure if you've met
him before.
Have you met Max the cat?
Oh, hi! Hello! Oh, so fluffy!
Yeah, he's going to get a lot fluffier. He's just, he's had his little lion cut.
Oh!
But, look at the little Ewok.
Yeah, oh!
Hello, hi, Aubrey! Hello!
All right, hop down there, Maxie. Little Max Rebo. All right. Well, Corey's gone. Oh, he's back. That's fascinating.
Somehow, Corey has returned.
That's how you end it. This episode clearly has gone on
long enough.
So, may that force be with you.
Sunday, Monday, Corey days. Tuesday, Wednesday, Corey days. Corey Day, what a day for YouTube. This content is out. Scoop along with me those Corey Days.
Corey, mm-hmm. don't walk out of the exit of the... Just a bit of bloody professionalism, mate. Just stay there, all right?
Okay.
We're on YouTube. Get it right next week, mate. I'm drawing a line in the sand, buddy, with you.
You're a little...
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.